It's empowering,
inspiring,
and thought-provoking conversations.
It's the Queendom State of Mind
with your host,
April,
Brooke, and Tawanda.
Hey, listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a Queendom State of Mind. And we have a wonderful guest with us tonight.
Yes.
I'm like, where am I looking, Adrian? Over
and
here?
Over here. Yeah. And over here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, we got cameras. Oh, I need to get it. Mm-hmm. Right. But welcome to a Queendom State of Mind. And we have a wonderful guest today.
Yes.
One of my oldest girlfriends. We have been friends since about sixth grade, and we are still hanging. Still hanging. And I want to introduce to everyone Cynthia Lubin. Not only is she a good friend of mine, but she is a financial guru, a CPA, a real estate broker.
Okay, yes. Sam.
And, yeah, we're just excited to have you.
So, I am excited to be here. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Yes, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. This question is always so hard, but personally, I'm going to start off personally because I talk about work a lot. But personally, I am a dog mom.
Yes. Okay.
Dog mom.
Yes.
What's the dog name?
His name is Leo. Leo Lubin. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's a cancer.
Leo Lubin. Okay. Full name.
No, he got a full name.
Okay. Yes. Leo Lubin.
Well, Leo, if you're listening, it's like,
yes.
Shout out to Leo.
Waiting for me to come back. I'm a daughter, a sister, a friend to Brooklyn, and my other girlfriends. I am a servant. I love to help people. Professionally, I am. Oh, I'm a homeowner. I think that's professionally, as Brooke mentioned, I am a CPA. I'm a licensed CPA. Mm-hmm. I did not do taxes, though. I think when everybody thinks about CPAs,
they think about it first.
No, I was on the audit side.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, where you prepare the financial statements. Mm-hmm. They talk about accounting being a language. That's where you're like reading the numbers and telling the companies or the individuals how they perform the year. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be any issues, if there's any fraud, you know, it is very fascinating to me, and I learned a lot. And I appreciated that experience, but my passion is real estate. Mm-hmm. Prior to becoming an accountant, I used to do mortgages. Okay. That was my first job out of college. Did mortgages, and that's where I was exposed to home ownership. And I was seeing, like, how people were just building wealth. Mm-hmm. Through real estate, paying off student loans, paying, you know, for trips, doing renovations to their homes. And I was like, there's really something to this, but we're not taught about it. Right. Like, I just only thought about renting up until that time. And it's just been a mission of mine ever since to, like, spread the word about how important, like, that asset is. And, you know, equity, that's something that's important to me because I think we always talk about debt, and we don't really know how to utilize it. It should be a tool for people to build wealth, but, you know, we have been taught to utilize it against ourselves. So I'm very passionate about building wealth and how everything comes together, everything that I learned from accounting, and I'm doing mortgages. So I did mortgages. Market crashed. I went back to school for my MBA, and then I worked Big Four accounting. I worked for a firm called Deloitte & Touche, which is a big They're big. Yeah, I used to audit Verizon. They were one of my clients. I learned a lot. I learned about business and everything, but that lifestyle was not what I was looking for. I didn't feel like I was being rewarded the way I was when I was doing mortgages and helping people, you know, get themselves out of debt and, you know, utilize their homes as, like I said, the assets that they are and should be. So after a few years of doing accounting, I went back into real estate. And I've been doing that ever since. I just recently got licensed in New York, like Brooke said, I also got my broker's license. I was thinking about doing mortgages again. Like, I'm just pro home ownership. I think it's something, like I said, we don't know enough about, and that's a detriment to us as a people. So just want to spread the word and do as much as I can to help us, you know, make some strides financially, because I want to chill. That's what I always tell people. I'm tired of working, and for us to do that, we have to.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I'm like, I need to chill. When we going to stop working? And to me, part of
that. We working real hard. Wait. We got mad hustles, and our hustles had kids.
That's right.
It's a lot. And so with you doing, thinking about the whole home ownership, like, what would you tell people about that? Like, you started talking about equity and how you got into it, you being a broker and all. Like, what's the biggest thing that you want people to walk away with in terms of just home ownership?
Yeah. It's just so much, like I said, that we just don't know. Equity, I think, is like that. And I'll say it like, and it might sound crazy. I always think I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist or something like kook. But I'm just like, equity is at the end of the day what this is all about. That is, you know, time that we have invested in, that we put into, you know, building our like our kingdoms or something. But you have to own something. And that's the one thing that you always need to have is a home. Like, for us to build wealth, you have to be able to profit. You have to sell something, be able to buy and sell. You can't always be on the buy side of things. And that's why I always get concerned about renting, because it's like constantly paying somebody else. When is that going to put you in the equation? So it's like, you can't pay, you know, help somebody else build wealth. You know, money doesn't go both ways. You know, if you're helping somebody else build wealth, what are you doing for yourself? So I just get very passionate about that. Like, we have to build equity. You know, like I said, debt is a tool. Sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to buy a home because I don't want to take out a mortgage. It's debt. And, you know, debt is, like I said, a tool. You know, the formula to building wealth is assets minus liabilities equals equity. Like, those components are always there. So, you know, the asset is going to continue to grow. As the liability goes down, you build equity. And I'm trying to figure out how to say it so it sounds cool. But these are things that we should know. Like, you know, if we're in a boardroom and we're talking to people, you know, we should understand, especially when it comes to money, like, what's being said, you know? How are the people that are building wealth, how are they making it? And these are the conversations that they're having. But I know, like I said, it can sound like corny or boring, and I'm like, oh, how do I say it? Okay, so I can communicate.
Can I interject
it?
For a second? Sure. Because what happens is, a lot of times when we know something, we know what it is that we know. So the language that you use and all those become second nature to you.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're talking about a queen and her castle and being able to get people to that level, sometimes we have to meet people where they are.
Very true.
Right. And so in meeting people where they are, it's like, okay, we have to explain to people in kind of like layman's terms, because like you use words like, you'll say like equity and you know, debt and assets. And maybe the average person don't know these things, right? Like, and so it's kind of like, well, yeah, are these things that we should be taught? And a lot of times in our community, in the African-American community, the urban communities, these things are not taught.
They're not.
Right. So we have been so behind in the wealth gap that we're in the process now of just like, and that's why we got hustles for the hustles.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? We work in, you know, like overtime. So what you're doing is trying to be able to educate people on that process. So in educating people in that process, let's break it down. Right. Yeah. So you mentioned renting, right? So people that are renting, you are just paying your landlord. You're not, you have no investment in that. You have no equity in that. So explain to people what that process looks like and why, what happens when you buy a home, because that's ultimately how you build equity. So the money that you're paying into your mortgage that's how you build the equity. But what you're paying to your landlord, it's not.
It's not.
So
it's
can
not.
You break that down?
Ooh, I will try my best. Okay. I'll try my best. And you, maybe mm-hmm. you could, like, if you I mean, hear
I,
anything.
I used to do mortgages, too. So yeah, and I used to sell real estate, too. So mm-hmm. I understand the concept, and I'm a homeowner. Mm-hmm. But I also know that that's not everyday language mm-hmm. for other people. Right. So it's kind of like, if I'm renting, I want people to be able to listen to this episode. And I want people to say, you know what? I think I want to buy a home. I think mm-hmm. I want to buy a home, I think I want to call Scent.
Yeah, for sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think, like, and again, I err on caution of sounding like mm-hmm. the big nerd in the room. But I'm
talk
just
your
like,
talk.
Yes, okay. I'm like, I think one thing that equity boils down to is time. I feel mm-hmm. like it's like a timesheet kind mm-hmm. of thing. That's like your time mm-hmm. balance. So one of the reasons why I find that we're working a lot is because we try to defer things, you know, and, you know, push the payments back. Like, to mm-hmm. build equity, again, mm-hmm. you have to pay for things. There's a term in accounting called your balance sheet. You know, again, I just mentioned time. Mm-hmm. I always say that's like the time sheet when mm-hmm, I was in mm-hmm. school. It's like, okay, of the work that I put in, where did it go? That's your asset. What do I own? What did I put it into? And then, oh, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm going to get too complicated. But you just have to own something. You know, yeah. the formula to wealth
break it down,
is like
terms.
You have
to, regular you have terms. To own something.
Mm-hmm. You have like, to own
if
something.
If Johnny had two apples, he gave Bill one apple, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to own. Like, the again, I was going to say there's a term called your balance sheet. Like, we get our bank statements mm-hmm. every month. Like, that's telling you what you own and how much it's worth. Which ultimately comes down to your net worth, you know, and that's something that I don't think we talk a lot about because, you know, where we are right now, we don't know, like, how much, you know, we owe to different people, how mm-hmm. much, like, of assets that we have. So a lot of us are living in debt already. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to, again, build wealth, you have to own something. You have to have something on your balance sheet. So, you know, again, when the time comes for you to be able to make a big purchase or a big investment, like, you have something to borrow against versus, you know, just having to work for it. Mm-hmm. So I hope that makes it clear. So, that, mm-hmm. like, what do you hear from that?
So, you know, how we're saying, like, in our community, you know, we really don't know a lot of this and we're far mm-hmm. behind, and it's crazy. I feel like I got a pretty good education, like I went mm-hmm. to a good school system mm-hmm. but I left so ignorant when it comes to home ownership. Mm-hmm. Cynthia knows mm-hmm. because I had like some weird idea about home ownership. Am I not lying, Sam? Mm-hmm. Like, I had this idea that if I purchase a home, let's say for $500,000, right? Mm-hmm. And when I'm ready to leave or move out, I would owe more money than what the house was worth.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's not the opposite.
Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, because you know mm-hmm. how your car note, right? Mm-hmm. When you purchase that car for $20,000, when you leave, that car is now worth $15,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And if something happens, mm-hmm. they're like, mm-hmm. your car is still worth, you know, you owe us this, mm-hmm. but your car is still mm-hmm. worth that. Mm-hmm. So I had this idea that, like, I would somehow be in debt owning a home. And Cynthia was like, no, boo, mm-hmm. that's not how it mm-hmm. works. Basically, if you purchase a home for $500,000 and you continue to pay your mortgage monthly, mm-hmm. now your house is now not, it's $500,000, now it's $400,075. It keeps going lower mm-hmm. and lower every time you make a payment. Mm-hmm. But the value of the house actually goes right. up because of mm-hmm. the market. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the
value of the house. Mm-hmm. And so that is what equity is. Mm-hmm. It's saying, okay, I purchased this home for, you know, this amount of money, but now this home is worth $200,000 mm-hmm. more than what I paid for. Mm-hmm. And that is that whole, like, mm-hmm. building wealth. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that homes was to build wealth. Yeah, like, I learned this from Cynthia. Mm-hmm. I'm telling y'all.
But it's a mindset.
I had no idea. Yeah, I was so ignorant.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you build, like, the asset appreciation. There's so many ways to build wealth, but I feel like as a people, we're always, like you said, just hustling, mm-hmm. hustling. And I'm like, we're one person, you mm-hmm. know, and there's yeah. so many things going on. Like, when do you get a time to relax? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's because we're always, like, working because we have to, because we don't mm-hmm. have anything in the mm-hmm. background mm-hmm. that is, like, growing on its own. So as prices are going up, that's kind of like a lever making us work more and more, because there's nothing like absorbing mm-hmm. You know, the value mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. increasing in the background. So when we look at our balance sheets, like, there's nothing on it. So it's like playing a game on a game board. Like, day by day you're starting over versus mm-hmm. like having the same piece, like, mm-hmm. you know, that you had, you know, at the beginning of the game, and bringing it forward with you. Like, every day you're just like starting over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can't live like that. Right. Like, that's why people are angry. That's why mm-hmm. people are mm-hmm. tired. Mm-hmm. Like, as you get older, your ability to work, you know, decreases. So, you know, right? As we see, rents are increasing.
Right. So. Rents right. are definitely yes. increasing. Huh. Mm-hmm. Like, April, what's your thoughts on home ownership? Like, when you think about it.
I was just thinking about the market today, mm-hmm. what it's like post pandemic, because mm-hmm. I think that we've gone through that year and plus mm-hmm. of the pandemic, and I know that nothing was really moving mm-hmm. Real estate-wise. What's your...
You say nothing was moving?
During that period of time when we were in the pandemic, during that period
In
of
the
time.
Beginning, things weren't moving, right. but I think we were considered some, like, a financial institution mm-hmm, or something mm-hmm. finance, which made us, like, a required business, or mm-hmm, I forgot mm-hmm. what the term was, but we were able to operate as agents mm-hmm. even when everything was shut down mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. the market needed to continue. So for a very short period of time, mm-hmm. things weren't moving, but once they opened up, mm-hmm. like the floodgates opened up, mm-hmm. people were mm-hmm. coming from New York.
Relocating and stuff, low. Right.
They mm-hmm. were like, I mm-hmm. am tired of being in these apartment buildings.
Right.
You know, we need, for what we're paying for, a room this mm-hmm. big, mm-hmm. we could get, you know, a 5-bedroom mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the drawback, I guess mm-hmm. you will say, is, like, we don't have enough homes. Right. You know, the reason why home value goes up is because it's a limited resource. Mm-hmm. The homes that we're selling can be, like, 100-something mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. old and go for, like, $1 million. It's because we don't have enough inventory.
The supply and demand.
That's exactly what I was about right. to say. Mm-hmm.
And we're very desirable. We're the financial. Mm-hmm. We're very near New York. Mm-hmm. Transportation.
And that's the problem. You know mm-hmm. what? That's the problem with our market over here. So for people who were born and raised in Jersey, New York actually is what's driving up our prices it over here. To whereas though an apartment for rent that used to be $1,500 is now like $2,200, $2,300 mm-hmm. and more, mm-hmm. like up to $3,000 for like a 1-bedroom apartment.
It's ridiculous.
Stuff. Like that's just preposterous.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you should own.
The
price won't go up.
But think on the payment. Flip side of it. Mm-hmm. The prices are increasing of the in the apartments, right? Mm-hmm. Which also means that the home values are mm-hmm. increasing.
They are
also. So whereas though, like you said, like a house that would normally have been maybe like $200,000 to $300,000 is now $500,000
mm-hmm. right.
or more.
Right.
So everything is increasing. Like try to find a house that you don't have to practically damn near rebuild
right.
for $100,000+.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And I like, think like you could find one on 18th Ave and 21st. Mm-hmm. For
$100. I was just talking to some mm-hmm. right, and they said right their father sold a home on, I want to say it was like mm-hmm. either Avon or 18 mm-hmm. for almost $1 million.
Yeah, this wow. is a multi-family. Okay. Wow. That's just preposterous, but that speaks to equity.
That is the point.
Because I think about like, I've been in my home for about over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
when I first bought my house, we bought our house for $123,000.
Wow.
And that was probably a lot, like 20 years ago.
Girl, that was a whole lot to me. Okay. That was a whole bunch. Okay. Right. But when you look at the value of the house now, the equity, like the money that we could pull out of and the home, because the house nearly, literally, like, tripled in value.
I would venture to say it's more.
Probably. 20 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? So when you do the numbers, and the only difference is now is I also think about the prices are increased, but also the interest rates.
Right.
Yeah.
Have increased also. Yeah. So that's a flip side of it too.
As soon as I want to go buy a house, now it's 6%.
Yeah.
But what was those pandemic? Say, like, we're not exempt from interest. Yeah. Interest is in so many other places. Like, mortgage interest is deductible. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about wealth building. Mm-hmm. Like, to be able to deduct that, that's more money back for you.
That's true.
Interest on credit cards, you know how much people are paying?
Oh,
and
I know.
They don't get us with the mortgage payment interest. We get got in increments, like those small credit card payments,
car
like your car note. How much of that is actually going towards
paying off the car,
paying the actual loan? Yes. So when you do go to make a payment on a mortgage or buy a house, you don't have enough. You know, your debt to income ratios, which is like how much are you putting out versus how much is coming in. It's like it's all absorbed by, you know, monthly payments that you're making towards someone else. So when it's time for you to do something for yourself, they're like, you can only qualify for $100,000, $200,000. But you're, because that's what I was talking about before, you're making so many payments, it's absorbing like everything that you're bringing in. You can't save like that.
I have to say this. I'm not a homeowner, but I'm a car owner. I just paid my car note off, y'all.
Congratulations.
Yay. Yay. I know that feeling, yes.
I just got brand new tires yesterday. Okay. I got a wheel alignment, a balancing, the tires, and a new battery. I'm treating my girl good.
She got to ride that thing to the end.
They're going to be like, what year is your car? And I'm like, don't worry about all that. I'm a car owner.
That's very good.
But the home ownership thing, like, there's nothing that we could have that's going to grow.
My car might be worth three times more.
Because every year there's a new car model coming out. They don't need the old model. But like I said, we're selling homes. It's too shiny. I sold a home or showed a home that was built in 1700.
Wow.
It was like they must have been like really, really short at that time because the ceiling, over the years got taller. But the people were, I was like, oh my God, how did people walk? The ceiling was like right above my head. But that just goes to show you it's a 300-year-old thing. Like to have that on your balance sheet to be paid off, to be able to pass that down. Nothing that we're buying right now is this like temporary fixes. You need the house, you could do everything you know you want once you have your house secure, because one thing I think that gets us is like I work in a shelter. I see it all the time. Like landlord, and I'm as a realtor. I see it all. Landlords are very picky, and you know they see the market how it is. They'll sell their house in a moment. Like you can't have stability if your landlord, you don't know when you're gonna sell. The landlord's gonna sell. That's true. You miss a payment. You know, is the landlord gonna kick you out? When you own a home, you are in control. That's what it's about. It's about controlling the resource. And it's like, I see it all the time. I'm like, I wish, you know, we as a people, just like I said, learn more about this. Because I think that's like the greatest hustle. Because when you're relying on somebody for the roof over your head, like, that's not the smartest this bet to make. And they're showing it to us all the time as these prices are going up. Companies are buying homes. It's like, and the rents are going up. You get stuck. There's people that's been in their apartments 5, 10, 15 years. Now they're ready to buy a house or, you know, move. And it's like, if I move to an apartment, you know, it's a mortgage.
Right.
You know, then if I try to get a mortgage, I can't afford one. Mm-hmm. So you get stuck and trapped. I'm like, I want more of us.
I think people also think that it's so far out of their reach. When it's really honestly not. If you think about it, the amount of money that you are paying in rent is mortgage payments.
It is. Should
I venture to say your mortgage would be less than what you could potentially be paying in rent? Like, I look at some of these apartments and I just be like, my mortgage and taxes is way less than that. Absolutely. Like, I couldn't even begin to imagine I probably can't even afford an apartment. Like, just think about that. Think about the mindset and the concept. It's like, I could afford my house, but I can't afford an apartment. These apartments are just like crazy. Just the thought of paying that amount of money and just throwing that money out of the window every month, like you said, not building anything, not building any equity.
Because it's either you're making somebody else wealthy or you're making yourself wealthy. So I think, you know, you can't be upset, like, if you're not wealthy and making a choice, like, not to invest in something that builds you wealth. Like, I think we fight so hard to make other people wealthy in so many ways. Like, I love my little Louis bags. You know, there's a limit. You know, I have to know when I can afford it and I have to prioritize. And I say it all the time, like, sometimes I feel like, you know, the old adult in the room, like, reminding everybody, like, you can't spend everything
that's so me.
You cannot.
Let me tell you, I be saying, you ain't living your best life if you ain't got no money in the bank. Because they be like, so-and-so living her best life. You need to have some money in the bank and not in your closet, you know?
Or, like, I mean, we think about the bank, but again, like, those assets kind of like accounts. They're so, like, bank accounts, like, some, you know, a cash account, your bank account, that's for temporary, that's for today. On your balance sheet, you know, there's try not to get too technical, but things grow.
Balance sheet, she's in it, y'all better get a balance sheet.
Have to know how much you have, like, ultimately, like, we look at our checking accounts, we're like, oh, this is how much I have, but if you really add up everything you own, how much you owe, if you're negative, you're in debt. Like, you, everything goes together. Like, okay, it's so not separate. Okay, so let's break this
down, because you talked about, you done said balance sheet one time too many for me. Us not to break it down. Okay. So let's let the people know, right, how to create a balance sheet.
So, again, you just really have to, everything that you own that has a value, not to just you, but to somebody else. You could go out in the market and, you know, say, hey, I could sell this.
So does that mean, like, all your items in your household?
That you own.
Anything that you own.
That has, like, a value that extends beyond this year. So a lot of those things, if the value tomorrow is less than what it is today, that's a depreciating that's an expense.
But you don't got no payment, girl.
I consider the car itself. I do consider, you know, a car kind of an asset.
Because she could sell it if you want to.
The loan is the liability. The loan is the liability.
Lexi not coming to get you.
You should hold on. Are you kidding me?
Wow. Yeah, no, for sure. I consider the car itself an asset. You know, again, like I said, the loan on it is a liability. But that difference, again, is how much you can get from somebody else. So, again, if you...
what you own.
That's your equity. You could, you know, cash that in. Ultimately, but yeah, anything that you own that has a value that you could sell. But again, you don't want to keep buying something over and over again. Like, I think I call rent like a subscription. You don't want to subscribe to your home. You want, like,
that's a good one.
You don't want, you want your home, like, you want that cable package or, you know,
all them subscriptions. Whatever, all of them.
And
streaming
the
network.
Mortgage, like, I think, like you said, you can own a, you own your home 20 years. Your mortgage payment is less than what people are paying right now because you froze it in time. It's on your balance sheet on, you know, as how much you pay for it or whatever the book value is. Your home may be paid off by now. 20 years is a long time. Not yet.
We've been dipping into equity. That's the whole purpose of equity.
And it is. When you have a large expense, you don't want to have to run out and be like, I got to get 10 more jobs to pay for this right away. And you want to be able to borrow against from yourself. So, yeah, that's the thing, just, like, leveraging the equity. I don't want to get too technical.
The people who are, like, home ownership is so out of my reach? Like, what would you say to first-time home buyers, people who are nervous, people who feel like it's out of reach? Like, what's out there now?
I mean, it's tough. It is tough because I feel like right now we are kind of behind the mark. You know, we're very much behind. So, like, whatever is left, it may not be, like, the greatest.
they come and go, these programs, right?
Well, you could do programs, but I will say, like, the market is tough, but I would say, like, start where you are. A lot of times people want, like, their dream home. You're going to be able to get to that dream home if you, like, you might have to take 2-3 steps. Okay. Like, you might have to get a home, build some equity, because somebody's going to come behind you, need to buy that house, and then you could pay, you know, roll that equity forward. But, like, the way homes are increasing, you know, you, if you're saving 3.5% is the lowest down payment. Say a home was $100,000, that's $3,500, but next year, it's $200,000. Now you're saving $7,000. You're constantly like, it's a cycle that is hard to get out of. But if you were to buy the home, start where you are, and, you know, again, now the home, like, values, like you said, have increased double. Now it's $200,000. Now you have $100,000 in equity that you didn't have before. How long would it have taken you to save $100,000? Then now you could take that $100,000 and roll it into something else, put it in, you know, another home, and then, you know, go from there. So I just say start where you are, but also there are programs, like you mentioned, there are first-time home buyer programs. I definitely encourage when I'm talking to someone, try to take advantage of them, you know, understand the terms. Sometimes they make sense, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're like liens against the house. So you just want to know
amounts,
what you're...
Some of the amounts are like 20K.
Every once in a while, you'll see like programs put out that you... I've had, I think the most I've had a client, maybe like
35,000 down payment money.
But sometimes
that was given to them from the program.
Yeah, because there are different programs where if you're like within a certain income amount bracket, or else if you're purchasing a home in a certain area that banks are trying to, you know, I guess those more up and coming areas, they need more homeowners. You know, banks will give you, you know, some sort of financial assistance to be able to purchase something. But like I said, there's always going to be somebody behind you. So, again, one thing that is not going out of style is a home. So there's always going to be somebody to buy it after you. And, again, I'm very much so for, and, starting where you are, looking into programs. And I know sometimes people have conflict within family, but I always say, like, partner up, you know, especially where prices are now. Like, if you are very much adamant about having a particular home, you know, and you may not be able to do it on your own, I advocate for doing with pulling your resources. You can, it doesn't have to be forever home
and Airbnb, you know, if you can do a basement type of Airbnb.
But you have to get into the house first, right. You know, to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. 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 But I know a lot of people, you know, they're like, I want to purchase a home, but I'm only going to do it for, you know, an investment purpose. Mm-hmm. You could start off kind of like what I did. Mm-hmm. I purchased my home. I didn't want to do a multifamily. I didn't want the headache of tenants.
Oh, yeah, tenant. Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, because I was a first-time home buyer, my first-time homeowner, like, I didn't want to figure out and have additional responsibility.
She has a beautiful home, too.
Thank you.
In a nice neighborhood. Thank you. A huge backyard.
And that's I'm grateful beautiful. That I purchased my home, you know, when I did, because, like I said, you kind of freeze the price. Mm-hmm. I'm paying I bought my house in 2015, so paying 2015 prices for, you know, my payment. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I have my home almost 10 years now, so I don't have that much time left. Like, it'll be done. I could pull the equity if I wanted to do something else. But the goal is to have a finish line. Like, you want to have a finish point.
You don't
want to
keep going on forever.
And that's the thing, like, paying in perpetuity is dangerous. You know, you don't want to be 70 years old, 80 years old, the time of your life worried about the roof over your head.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people or whoever's thinking, like, I don't have the money for my down payment. There are programs. And also, I heard, like, oh, people are using their 401k to put their money down on the house. And I'm like, but I need that money. Mm-hmm. And again, the ignorance is that I'm just going to lose $30,000 of my 401k. But no, my house is going to grow and get, you know, become a value, more value, and I'll eventually make that $30,000 back. So you see what I'm saying?
Like, balance,
the mentality
transfer.
And the ignorance is like,
But you didn't know. And like you said, it's the mindset.
So that's
mindset.
Why I'm like, you could do your 401k too. You'll get it back
that's
in the end.
That's what I did.
In the long run.
That's how I bought my house. The minute I could scrape up, you know, $5,000.
Okay.
I took it out of my 401k, but you're absolutely right.
But
it's like a balance
don't have 401k. Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Where people don't, because one of the biggest things that stop people from buying homes also is their credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another thing.
That's another episode.
We didn't even hit on it. That's another episode,
right? Because people have to pay attention to their credit.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, you can't. If your credit score is like 500, like, where you going? And you don't have on-time payments. And I swear every time.
Victoria's Secret credit card.
No,
exactly.
You don't.
You know what? And then the credit scores are increasing. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was like, wait, I remember it used to be 850. When did we get to 900?
Wait, There's a 900.
I was like, every time I get closer to them, it's, I feel like they just move in the
goalpost.
Right,
right, you
know what I'm saying? So, like, I saw something on one of my Citibank cards. You know how, like, you could, like, look, it shows you your credit scores. And I was like, I thought I was at 8-something. I was like, well, why is that needle over there to 9? I was like, am I ever going to reach that?
Mine.
Yeah, so
you
it's...
make me look at mine.
Yeah, no,
I'm
look at it. They moving. They moving a number.
But yeah, that's how they trap us. And that means higher fees, higher payments. You know, again, that's how we get trapped.
Credit is important.
It is.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between good credit and bad credit. And those credit cards, they're scary.
You do not need them credit cards, okay? No. Like, let it go. Like,
they tried to get me to get one last night to do the tires and stuff. I was like, no. I have a card.
Right. Yeah.
What do I need a Mavis tire credit card
for? You don't need no Mavis.
Oh, let me go get some tires.
Yeah,
right.
You don't need that. You don't need no Mavis.
You'll see me.
You don't need no
60,000 miles.
You don't need none of them. Remember when we was younger, you couldn't tell us not, oh, I just got me a Macy's card.
Ooh, that's right. I remember when I got my Macy's card.
Them out.
Yes.
Like, no. Like, so getting your credit together is the first step, honestly, in home ownership. It's like, so you're getting your credit together, but then you also need to be able to be saving money so that way you can be able to have that down payment. Keep your eye open for resources that'll be able to help you get some money for the down payment. If you have 401ks, being able to tap into your 401k. Like, there's a lot of things that people can do And the first thing is, honestly, stop thinking that it's so far out of your reach, because it's really not. You know how many times I thought that I couldn't have something or do something? When I start really, really looking into it, I was like, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was.
I say it all the time. I'm like, home ownership is not as difficult as we try to make it out to be. We live, you know, if we're not in a home, you're in an apartment. Like, does the does the roof cave in all the time? Like, it's not going to be very much different. Everybody's like, the sky is falling. Once I buy the house, everything's going to fall apart. And I'm like, it doesn't happen like that. And even if it does, we will figure it out. You know, you can always call me. I know contractors. You have homeowners insurance. Like, there are so many things to protect you from, you know, it becoming a financial burden. But part of that is also having, like, someone that's not going to, you know, force you to buy a home that's not right for you. Like, when I'm working with my clients and purchasing a home, we look at the inspection reports and, you know, try to do our due diligence. We're not opening up walls. I'm not a contractor. You know, I can't predict the future. Something may happen. But I do try to, you know, work with my clients and guide them through the inspection report to kind of mitigate any potential issues that they may have later on. And fortunately, I've been blessed. Like, all my clients have been very successful. I work with predominantly women. And yeah, most of my clients are women.
Adrian has been given.
Oh, I didn't see it. Like, that's her third time.
Because we was talking, right? But she over there.
She almost fell out her chair.
Well, this was a good topic.
Like, I feel like this is one of those conversations where we really could kind of go on and on about, because it's so many layers to it.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
So if you had to leave us with something, you know, for people that are listening, like, what would you leave them with?
I would leave them with, like, just try, you know, have the conversation. You know, if you're looking to build wealth, again, you know, you have to do things that build wealth. And, you know, the system, it's really hard to trick the system. The system is very smart. They know, like, renting is giving your wealth away. You know, no matter how low the payment over time, you're not going to win over, you know, someone that owns the property. So I would say have the conversation, talk to a professional. Everybody's situation is different. You can't go by what your mother, your auntie, your cousin, uncle. Have the conversation. There are people like myself who really care and really genuinely will say, like, what's right or wrong, or, you know, give you advice. But I would say look into it. Don't think it's difficult. I tell people all the time, if I can own a home, anybody could own a home. I have all the risk factors. I'm single. I'm an entrepreneur, you know. But I'm doing it, and it's very much possible. It's not as scary as it seems if you have the right team. So I'll just say look into it.
She was like, I'm single, I'm an entrepreneur. All I heard was, I'm single, I'm back, I'm a woman.
No, but everybody tells me all the time, like, oh, I'm single. Do you see a man?
Like, it's no man. But you were saying, I think when you was talking to on your agent to agent, like, single women, they owning homes more than single men, like, outpacing them at least by, like, what, 12% was it?
It was like 12.7 30
Girl, I was
But I believe it. Like, I see it all the time, and I, you know, unfortunately, the numbers are where they are. I think that's also an issue. You know, to our wealth issues, like, we don't have, you know, households, but a lot of women are just not waiting, you know, and they have children and, you know, things that they're trying to do. So I'm all for it. I'm like, I'm here for you, sis.
We love that. You do agent to agent. So where, how can people get in contact with you? You do agent to agent every, is that a weekly thing you do?
It's weekly for the most part. Sometimes we have off days, but, or off weeks, but I would say every Tuesday at 7 p.m., myself, Cynthia Lubin, and my colleague, Saida Moore, we do a weekly real estate live chat, but it's not just real estate. It's, you know, just
your
life.
IG, your website. Give them your info.
Sure. My IG is Cents for Homes, C-Y-N-T for Homes. And my phone number is 551-200-7590, centforhomes.com. I try to be Sent for Homes on most things, but I'm not.
Sent for Homes. Mm-hmm. Anything else, you guys?
No, this was great. Wow. Very informative.
Okay, yes. Sorry. Thank you so much,
Cynthia. This was a good conversation, and hopefully the listeners feel hope, you know, for home ownership. Yes. And, you know, we really want to have our castles own our homes so we can have that wealth and equity and something to leave to our children and our families, you know, because that's a whole nother story. But thank you so much for joining us. And you guys got her IG and her information. And we just want to say thank you.
Thank you, guys. This was great.
This was really great.
This was a great experience. And, you know, wish you guys the best.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Queendom State of Mind podcast.
If you're enjoying the show, leave a review, like, share, and subscribe.
And follow us on social media at Queendom SOM.